This was their cap, all right. Do you concur, brother?
Indeed, I do. And now it looks as though it's been deserted for some time. I fear it'll make the task dear Mr. Perry set us that much more difficult.
Edmund Lute removed his bowler and rubbed his hairless scalp.
We'll find them. Happy day that Mr. Perry sent for us. I was becoming quite bored without a contract. I'm ready to kill a man for the mere slight or the wrong look in my direction.
Well, no matter, brother. We have killings at hand, and a chance again to practice our craft. Mother Dearest is most consistent that we kill them.
I was led to believe that our new client said dead or alive. Or did I mishear?
You heard correctly, brother. But Mommy says dead is simpler. That bang bang is more direct than jaw jaw jaw, you understand. Sensible Mommy, Edmund, is she not?
Marcellus's cherubic face broke into a grin, and he did a little jig.
My mommy is so smart, that's why she stole my heart. She taught me how to kill, and that was such a thrill.
Fiddlesticks and candlesticks and voices o'er the lea. Aren't we a happy pair that Mum loves thee and me?
The brothers clutched their little pot bellies and rolled around on the grass. Mr. Lewis Carroll, when he wrote Through the Looking Glass, could have used the Lute twins as models for his Tweedledee and Tweedledum characters. Both stood an inch under 5 feet, with small round faces that in repose looked like ripe Georgia peaches. Stout little men, they each had a round protruding belly and were as bald as crystal balls. Acting together, the Lute twins had killed 28 men and were the most sought-after paid assassins in the West. Their weapon of choice was the Remington Rolling Block rifle in .45-70 caliber, and both were acknowledged marksmen with that arm. Forehead shots at 100 yards were their specialty, though they would draw a bead on the heart or lungs if they deemed it necessary. The driving force behind the twins was Mommy. Unfortunately for Edmund and Marcellus, they possessed only her embalmed head. She had been hanged for poisoning 7 of her 8 husbands, and when the twins, then teenagers, arrived to claim her body, only her decapitated head had remained. Why this happened was never explained to the twins' satisfaction. In the end, they had to accept the governor of New York's explanation that a misunderstanding had occurred, and that they could have the head with his compliments. The Lute twins did nothing without opening the reliquary. Her head was kept in a jar of embalming fluid, and asking her advice. Since Edmund was a full 10 minutes older than his brother, the honor of talking to their deceased parent fell to him. Marcellus stood apart at a respectful distance as Edmund spoke to Mommy. Edmund's lips fell silent, and he began to nod, as though absorbing her every word. Finally, he rose to his feet from his kneeling position, lifted the reliquary, and kissed her through the glass. He replaced it in the leather bag and tied the bag tightly again.
Marcellus, shall we camp here tonight?
What does Mommy say?
She says we should.
Then we will. What else did the deer say?
That we pick up tracks come morning and then move in for the kill.
Excellent advice. You make up the fire, brother, and I will prepare dinner. We have plum cake, don't forget.
Yummy! I never forget plum cake.
Now I remember. That Sean O'Brien person Mr. Perry wishes discarded has a reputation as... what do you call it? Ah, yes, a draw fighter. Apparently that's a Texas term for a thug who's quick to bring a belted revolver into play.
Really? Is that how he gets his work in? With a pistol?
Apparently so, brother. I remember reading about him. He's called the Town Tamer, and he had an equally murderous family of brothers. At one time, this Mr. O'Brien was married to an English lady, but she died or he murdered her. I can't recall which.
I hate cold-blooded killers with a passion. We eliminate undesirables, brother. And that's a vocation, like a call to the priesthood or politics. That last one?
Ah, yes. Pori Blunt, the penniless past drifter who wanted to wed the rancher's daughter.
Yes! Now, he was a classic case of an undesirable who had to be removed from this world. The impertinence of the man daring to ask for the hand of the daughter of one of the richest men in Texas.
He was easy to eliminate. Riding out on a mule all the time with his Bible in his hand, the knave.
And now, poor Mr. Perry also has such a thorn in his side.
O'Brien will be easy to dispose of. Honest riflemen have little to fear from a draw fighter.
Yes, indeed. Mommy said that very same thing.